Before we start the show, I'd like to talk to you about Brandwatch, which is a digital consumer intelligence company. It helps businesses better understand their consumers and buyers with clever software that enables them to analyze conversations from across the web and social media. To find out more, visit brandwatch.com and you can sign up for up-to-the-minute consumer insights in your inbox each week at brandwatch.com/bulletin. And it's worth mentioning that my business, Automated Creative, uses Brandwatch every single day, and our business would be impossible to deliver without it. So it's of real pride that I welcome them as partners for this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to the Shiny New Object Podcast. My name is Tom Ollerton. I'm the founder of Automated Creative, and this is a weekly podcast where leaders of the industry talk about their vision for the future of marketing. And this week, I am on a call with Sam Dolan, who is head of marketing, Aunt Bessie's. Sam, thanks for coming on the show. For anyone who doesn't know who you are or what you do, could you give them a bit of an overview?
Of course, yeah. Thanks for having me, Tom. I'm really looking forward to this. So I'm Sam, as Tom said. I'm currently head of marketing at Aunt Bessie's, which is part of Bird's Eye. But most of my career I've spent at Arla Foods, so working on fantastic brands such as Lurpak and Cravendale. I guess that one of the highlights of my career would be the whole Cats with Thumbs advert, which, yes, that was me. So yeah, that's me.
Fantastic. So in that career, have you being a book reader, do you read marketing books or do you just throw them on the bonfire at Christmas? Like, what's your approach to learning and how do you level up your own understanding of the industry?
On the whole, I learn through conversation. So I'm not somebody that generally learns from, you know, if I'm due to start a new job in a few weeks, still within Bird's Eye. But if people just send me slides and expect me to read them, I'm not going to learn from that. However, I am an avid book reader, both fiction and nonfiction. And I do read the odd marketing book. Not tons, but I do read them.
And what are your recommendations?
I guess there's a few, but the one I would pick out that I go back to sort of time and time again is Adam Morgan's second book, The Pirate Inside. And the reason why I like it better than Eat the Big Fish is because he doesn't go as far as role playing in it, but he puts a lot more kind of behaviours around things. So he'll talk about this is a book for people who want to leave the Navy and join the pirates. And it just, I think, especially for young marketers, it just helps you get in the kind of right mindset. And, you know, behavior is everything and attitude is everything. You know, on paper, you can have a brilliant plan, but we all know it's down to the way you execute it and the passion you put into it and kind of the behaviors around it. So I've got one. I know this is an audio podcast and you can't see me, but I've got a very dog-eared copy of it in front of me that I tend to recommend a fair bit.
And so how have you implemented that pirate type of thinking in your role?
I've worked on challenger brands and I've worked on brands who are leaders, and I think without doubt you need to have a challenger mindset in either. I think that's number one. You know, whether you brand leader, so Aunt Bessie's now in terms of roast dinners, we are the number one by quite some way, but actually sometimes that's harder, and to kind of keep stale and keep doing what you're doing is never an option, because you're leading and you know, leading needs the same attitude as challenging. And that sounds really daft, I appreciate that, but it's so true. You know, you've got to keep agile, you've got to keep looking for the new ideas, the new things. Just, you know, keep, there'll always be somebody there who's kind of coming up behind you. So I think there's lots of really good tips in that book about mindset and, you know, what a challenger brand would do versus what a leader would do, but there's no reason why the challenger can't do it.
So what, apart from books, have you spent your own money on that you have found absolutely wonderful for your career? Where have you spent your hard-earned cash that you use on a daily basis for work?
Books or things?
Things.
Things, sorry, that's what I thought. Well, the first one is really daft, and it's a battery-powered pencil sharpener. Tom, do not underestimate how much I cannot live without this battery power. And it's like when we get back to the office, it's a standing joke that all of a sudden, I'll do you the noise now. This is audio. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Can you hear that? There it is. Did you
right. hear that? I can understand why you didn't expense that, but why is that indispensable for your job?
I am a pencil person, and I'm a pencil person because I love to rub things out and start again. And if, you know, I'm a firm believer, write it in pencil. You can. I'm just a pencil person. I don't own a pen. There's not a pen in my pencil case, I don't think. And I go through a lot of pencils, and you know, they're hard to sharpen with one of the manual jobs. So I got it in my personal life for pencil use at home, and I use time now in my work life.
And tell me about your pencil approach. Have you got like tons of colours, big ones, little ones, or do you have like
absolutely got to have a rubber on the end? Got to have a rubber on the end. I like quote pencils. I tend to get, you know,
what's
like
a quote pencil.
Quote pencil. Yeah. Some of them are uplifting quotes. Like I've got some that say "You are brilliant" on them. And then I've got some swearing pencils as well that I won't repeat what some of them say. But I always get as part of the we do this thing at work where when it's somebody's birthday, we all put a fiver in. There's always a pack of pencils in my gifts.
Nice. So I think that if there's any new business people out there that want to impress Sam, then some luxury pencils with luxury some uplifting pencils. Quotes.
The pinnacle of the pencil purchase was Paul Smith pencils I bought once. And do you know what, Tom? The rubber was useless on them, so really? I didn't let them.
That's what everyone says about Paul Smith. Do you know, my top tip for life is that you should, when it comes to buying presents, you should always buy expensive versions of cheap things. So if you buy someone like a 20 quid pencil, it's going to be totally amazing. It's going to be like an ultimate pencil, but you only spend 20 quid versus like a, I don't know, like a 20 quid shoe, which is going to be pretty rubbish. Anyway,
loving that.
But this interview isn't about me, it's about you. So we are, we've got to move on to your top marketing tip. Yeah, what is that bit of silver bullet advice that you always find yourself giving?
One thing I find myself talking to young marketers a lot about is, relax, and it's fine to be a jack of all trades. I think of market as marketeers, we are probably the only department in the whole business that's on the journey from beginning to end, whether it's a piece of MPD, whether it's a TV ad, whatever it is, you know, you will drag people in along the business, supply chain, production, media agencies, creative agencies, but you're on that bus. In fact, you're driving that bus. But that doesn't mean you have to be an expert in it all or you have to know it all. You know, agencies and other areas of business exist for a reason and they're experts in it. And I think too often these days, marketeers feel pressure to be experts in digital media, experts in TV buying, experts in packaging, experts in nutrition. Relax, dudes. You don't need to be experts. There's people that have been paid money, good money, to do that. So it's not always a popular opinion amongst my peers, but I'm quite proud to be a jack of all trades. You know, I'm quite proud of the fact that I've got the skills to draw these people in and learn from them and take their advice and roll with it.
Or as the creative director I used to work with, Tim Bennett, they said, no, a little about a lot. So I thought it was quite a nice way of putting it as well.
Absolutely. That's spot on. That is absolutely know enough to have an opinion. That's absolutely spot on. But you don't, you know, you don't have to know the ins and outs of the media you're buying for your brand spanking new TV ad. It doesn't have to be that way.
This episode of the Shiny New Object podcast is brought to you in partnership with Manfest. Whether it's live in London or streamed online to the global marketing community, you can always expect a distinctive and daring blend of fast-paced content, startup innovation pitches, and unconventional entertainment from Madfest events. You'll find me causing trouble on stage, recording live versions of this podcast, and sharing a beer with the nicest and most influential people in marketing. Check it out at www.madfestlondon.com.
So we're going to move on now to your shiny new objects, which surprised me when you said it. But you said direct mail, which isn't shiny or new at all. Old school, in fact. So I assume that there's a shiny new take on this. Or is this your shiny new object because you started using it in a different way? Anyway, explain, what is direct mail to you and why is it your shiny new object?
First of all, my brother will be really proud of me because he works at Whistle, so he'll be super proud that I'm giving Direct Mail a big up. But I'm not doing it for that reason, Tom. It's just we're going through brand planning at the minute, and we've started to think about ecosystem rather than channels. And I'm not going to go, you know me quite well, I'm not going to go too deep on that, but we've started to think about all media as an ecosystem and what's driving to what. And we've sort of split that ecosystem into bought, owned and earned. Old school, right? There's nothing new in that. But start to think about kind of how the dots are all connecting. And one of the big things owned was light is basically what I was trying to say. And actually we started to think about different ways to reach people kind of with a targeted approach and some way you could be very creative. And direct mail was a conversation we started to have in the business. And it's a bit one of those, like, was it Mark Twain that said, like, rumours of my death are exaggerated? Direct mail feels a bit like that. It feels like it's bubbling under the surface and having a bit of a resurgence. I think a lot of my peers would say it's expensive. I think I would argue it could be very effective if done in the right way. I think there's a few reasons that we've been talking about why it might be making a bit of a comeback. I think if it's done right, it can be super targeted. You know, we've talked for years about mass personalization. Well, direct mail doesn't even have to be mass personalization. It can be absolutely personalized. And people like the postcode lottery have been doing it in a kind of quite he's robbing some way for a while. But I think there's probably some learnings there. I think,
tell me about what the postcode lottery been doing.
I think they take a postcode, right? And they bring together a community by saying, actually, you're a little bubble in that postcode and we're going to kind of give you the option to win some money. There's nothing too clever about that, but it feels like it's for the people in that street rather than, you know, a mass. I mean, back in the day, we get them all the time, don't we? We get flyers from Aldi and Lidl and Domino's Pizza, and they're not for you specifically, are they? Although I think they're the kind of guys that could start to make bespoke direct mail for you. You know, if you're a Domino's customer and you've Domino's might be listening here, I won't charge you for this idea, but if you're a Domino's customer and you've been ordering this and this, you know, could suddenly be getting bespoke direct mail based on what you've ordered before, or based on, I'm making it up as I'm going along, but you get the idea. I think the other thing is it's not necessarily open to the same legislation as things like emails and other things online. So, you know, there's been this lots of challenge around GDPR and all that kind of stuff. There's different legislation and much looser legislation around direct mail. So it feels like you could do quite a lot more. I think you can be super creative. You know, I think your chance of grabbing attention through the letterbox versus online is probably better. And I haven't got any stats or research that proves that. But my gut feel is when my post comes through the door, if there's a standout piece of creative that lands there and it piques my interest, there's not a lot of noise going on around me at that moment to distract me from it. Whereas if you're serving somebody, sorry, Tom, because I know this is what you're into, but if somebody, you know, if you're serving me a Facebook ad online, is there other stuff going on that's distracting me? So I think it could be good in terms of grabbing attention. From an ROI point of view, I did some digging on this morning, and Royal Mail reckoned that the ROI is £3.22 on average, which is huge. And I'm guessing that's based on, you know, the targeted approach and really getting it right. But that's a huge, huge number and levels you don't see across much secondary media at all. I read some other research this morning that says direct mail can drive more loyal customers because effectively it's a long form content in physical form. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, cool.
So, you know, if consumers are armed with a bit more info via the direct mail, that they show a more deliberate intent in their interest, whether they're buying or joining something. So there's some research that suggests that as well. Now, I'm not suggesting for one minute you go out and spend 50% of your marketing budget on direct mail, but I do think it can work in conjunction with online. I think the two can, and again, we've been thinking about this within this ecosystem model that, you know, can online drive offline and can offline drive online. You know, there's no reason why there can't be something. I mean, a blipper is something that, and it's probably a bit old school now, but could that work in the form of a direct mail to drive people back online for an offer? Or do you see what I'm trying to say? I think the two can work in perfect harmony. So that's my take on it. I definitely think there's something in it.
How much of your budget are you going to put into it?
Well, I don't know yet. That's the current conversation. It'll be right. A test and learn, because you know that's just what we'll do. But again, you know, I don't think I've actually included direct mail in my marketing plan for, it's got to be 10 years, Tom. It's got to be 10 years. And it was much more relevant back in the day when I worked on doorstep milk for Express Dairies. And we used to use direct mail a lot to target postcodes where milkmen were delivering, which obviously makes sense. And we would put things like time delay vouchers in there. So 50p off a pint now, 50p off in 4 weeks, 50p off to try and sort of, you know, working on the Dunnhumby principle that three is the magic number. And if you get somebody to buy three times, then it becomes a habit and they're in. We used to kind of target that way. Personally, I think probably vouchers is not the, you know, no, who wants a paper voucher these days? Probably no one, but that's where the online offline thing can work. You know, you can push people around back online, you know, to take the offer up or to sign up or whatever it is you want to do. You know, in the past, we've always used digital as the attention grabbing tool, but actually I wonder whether direct mail is now the attention grabbing tool. And then you push them back online to actually, you know, as the call to action pushes them back online. So I think us personally, we'll do some kind of test and learn, probably within a region, probably within the north, somewhere like Yorkshire. And we will probably work with a retailer on it as well, because again, we want people to go out and buy our products. We want people to go out and buy Yorkshire puddings, but there'll be different call to actions across different brands, I guess. But I just, yeah, I think this, I thought it was a good subject to talk about. I know I've gone off brief, but.
No, at all. But I think that the shiny new thing here is the fact that it's a channel that's, you know, been sort of forgotten about. And yeah. I'm a big fan of the channel for B2B marketing. I should say this or not, but when I worked at We Are Social many years ago, I sent Keith Weed, who was the global CMO of Unilever at the time, I sent him a giant PG tips box. And what I'd done was changed all of the infographics and all the lettering to say, instead of PG tips, it said Keith Weed tweets or KW tweets. And inside, there was a We Are Social mug and USB stick with our case studies on, and then about 20 different tea bags, all with like a drawstring with a little social media factoid on the end. And he wrote to me, and he was like, you know, the most powerful man in advertising at the time, possibly, wrote to me. He was like a nothing innovation director, about how, yeah, he'd come and speak at our conference and eventually became a client. So, you know, that's most probably about as targeted as you could be, but no one was talking to him on that channel, whereas he was getting a million LinkedIn messages a day and on email and all the rest of it. So I'm totally behind you on that. But I think that the thing that could really change direct mail is QR codes and voice yep. tech. Because obviously now QR codes, everyone's finally learned how yep. to use them and do that. Oh yeah, I've got one of those readers, or I've got this built into my iOS, whatever. But also, you know, we're starting to do stuff that is ads that get you to use Alexa. So, you know, yep. ask Alexa about the perfect gravy, you know, and then there you go. Yep. And then you've bridged that gap that you're talking about. So I think that's the huge thing that's changed for me is how you, as you say, you link the physical and the digital. So I think it's really exciting. And ultimately, yes, it's about the idea, right? I think too many ideas get called off at the kind of at the channel point. They're like, oh no, but TikTok's just stupid. No, like, if it's a great idea on TikTok, it's a great idea. If it's a great idea on direct mail, it's a great idea. Great ideas are completely agnostic about the channel that they're on, in a sense. So yes, I'm really inspired by that idea.
I think the technology piece unlocks the extra level as well of it's right for right now. It's not so we all talk about it being right for you. So, you know, Netflix are really good at looking at what you've watched and serving you something that, you know, that's based on what you've watched before. But that's not based on your mood. And I think the next level of this online particularly is what's right for right now, and how direct mail could take things to another level, I guess, with that. You know, if they know that you always go to the match on a Saturday, you're going to be in a certain mood on a Saturday morning. And is there a way to harness? It's probably more relevant for online. But I think that's certainly going to be a big thing as well. This kind of mood, what would you call it? I don't know, mood matching or mood. I don't know what you'd call it, but
and where would you get that? Where would you get that mood data from?
Yeah,
would you make that as an assumption based on that? What you bought?
It'd have to be social, wouldn't it? It'd have to be social. I did a piece of activity with Lerpak back in the day where we activated Mood Meter. Bear with, and what basically we had this whole campaign running around comfort food, and it was lovely images of shepherd's pie and jacket potatoes with butter coming out of them. And we said, actually, how do you know when to serve them? And to be fair, the main media we used was Outdoor Digital, and it was mainly in central London. But the agency set this is right up your street, Tom. The agency set up this kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, spider bot for us that basically trailed the social media channels and judged the mood of the nation that week. And if we thought, you know, the weather was going to be rubbish. And I remember having a really awkward conversation about Nelson Mandela because he was ill. And we thought, oh, God, Nelson Mandela's going to die. Everyone's going to be really depressed. And it felt really shallow because then we were going, oh, well, let's serve them a shepherd's pie ad. And it was like, oh, hardly. But that's the kind of conversation we were having. And I don't know whether I still think that was probably before its time. The ROI was terrible because you can imagine the media owners massively penalised us for ringing them on a Thursday and saying you need to switch this shepherd's pie ad on in King's Cross on Saturday. You know, it wasn't the most effective, but things have probably moved on a lot since then, and we're swinging back to online. But it's right now, with a limited expertise in it, I would say it's probably got to be social would be your main tool for judging that. But I don't know, you've probably got a view on that as well.
So if everyone's really livid in Grimsby on social, then you send out direct response that cajoles them into a happier state of mind. Well, look, it's definitely been the most creative discussions we've ever had on the show. So thanks, Sam. But we are at the end of time, unfortunately. But if someone wanted to get in touch with you about their killer QR code, Alexa, direct response, reactive, contextual outdoor campaign, how do you want them to get in touch with you?
Well, they'd need to send me a direct mail, but I'm not going to give them out my address, but you never know. Get in touch via LinkedIn and we'll see.
And what makes a really good LinkedIn outreach to you?
Oh my goodness, that's a really good question, because I don't think I've seen one. That's not about to offend everybody who's ever reached out to me on LinkedIn. Gosh, I don't know, just be yourself. I'd say that's really weak, Tom. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, don't use long words and try and sell me something. Just give it to me straight.
I like that. Sam, thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom. Cheers.
Hi, just before you go, I'd really appreciate it if you could take the time to write a review of the Shiny New Object podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever it's called these days, or whichever podcast provider you use. We're an indie podcast, so it would go a long way for us if you could just share the word and give us a bit of a support on those channels. That'd just be fantastic. If you haven't got time, that's also cool. And yeah, if you could tell your colleagues about the podcast, and also, if possible, don't forget to subscribe. And I'd love to hear your feedback. If you'd like to speak on the podcast or be a guest, or you think I'm asking the wrong questions, anything, I'd be super interested to hear what you think. So please email me at tom@automatedcreative.net. That's T-O-M at, I'm not going to bother spelling it. Anyway, you'll work it out. Thanks so much.